In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The reading of the second Sunday of the blessed month of Baba is about the calling of Saint Peter and how the Lord, at the beginning of the story, when he was pressed by the multitude to speak to them, he asked Saint Peter if he can lend him his boat so he can preach from it. At the beginning of the paragraph that we just heard, we hear that so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. So we find those people today, they are coming for a holy reason. They are coming to hear him. They are not asking for something for themselves apart from learning. And this is a holy thing that moves the heart of the people when they are feeling the calling of God in their heart. They are not asking to be fed or to be healed from illnesses. It is to hear the word of God. We know that we all are, as humans, are made of three elements: our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. We know when we are sick and we know when we are healthy, when it comes to our physical well-being. We can read the analysis of any blood test, and doctors can tell us that this is going right or going wrong. And we also know when we are emotionally and psychologically sound and when we are not doing okay. We know and we can say that I am depressed, I don't feel good, I am having some hard time going through. But when we come to the evaluation of our spiritual well-being, we find difficulty. And many people, they wonder, how would I know if I'm spiritually sound or not? Am I doing okay, or there is something that needs to change? One of the parameters by which we can know if we are spiritually sound or not is how we handle the Word of God, how we deal with the Scripture. And there are many parameters that we are going to speak about today that can tell us if we are spiritually sound or there is something that's not going good, and accordingly, we need to make some changes. In the story of of Nehemiah going back to restore the walls of Jerusalem, we find that after he gathered the people and he was able to bring them together to this holy purpose to build the walls of Jerusalem, that those people of Israel who were taken in exile because of their weaknesses and because of them worshiping idols, they are coming back into a spiritual revival. And it was manifest in how, for maybe the first time, they are dealing with the Word of God in a different way. We all can look at them, we learn, we can measure ourselves against those people, and we know how those people who are spiritually sound handle the Word of God. The first point, we know that we are doing okay spiritually when we find in ourselves the eagerness to learn about the Word of God through the right channels. What happened in the story of Nehemiah and his people is this. We read this in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now, the people of Israel are the ones who are asking for Ezra to read for them. It's exactly, I imagine it, like people come and they press kiddah on Abuna or Sayyidina, saying, Sayyidina, please read for us the scripture. We do not want anything else. This is our main focus. Of course, maybe this is something that doesn't happen often, but we understand that our lack of zeal and our lack of eagerness to learn is just a manifestation of our spiritual weakness. The people of Israel, they are coming to Ezra saying, read for us. We want to know what happened to them. As I said again, something is moving in their hearts towards God. And whom they are coming to learn the word of God? They are coming to Ezra, the scribe and the priest. entrusted over explaining and reading the Word of God to his people. Sometimes people, they have some eagerness, but they want to understand the scripture on their own, or they go to a channel that is not instituted by God. Everyone, especially in this era, in this age that we live in, has in his heart the right. I can read the scripture, I interpret it the way I like. This is not how we learn it, the Word of God. We learn it that the Word of God should be understood, interpreted through the right channel, and the channel is the church, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So this is the first sign, and again, we can look in our hearts and we ask ourselves, am I eager to know, or the Bible is something that's very heavy? I feel burdened with it. I just wanted to check it off of my list so I would feel good. It is the recipe for us to sleep whenever somebody starts to read the Bible. Then again, I say, there is something here that needs adjustment. The second sign of being spiritually sound is the people who they love the Bible. They know that it's the Word of God. They do not mind spending time learning with it. In the same occasion, when the people of Israel gathered to ask Ezra to read, what happened is, then he read from it, referring to Ezra, in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. Ezra read for the people almost 3 hours, from 9 till noon. I imagine this, those people were standing and listening. No one complained. No one started to excuse himself from the assembly and say, this is too much, Ezra. Maybe reading a couple of verses and saying a meditation kedah for 5 minutes would be fine. But reading for us for 3 hours? Actually, he was reading for all of this long time because the people were also still willing to listen. They did not mind that. They did not find it something that's troublesome. It was too much. Sometimes we, on Sunday, some of the people, they woke up early because they are used to wake up early from Monday to Friday. They find themselves up at 7 a.m. And then this is Sunday. This is the day we go to the church. But to be in the liturgy for 3 hours and a half is too much. Let's check in news in Egypt and see how the government is doing there, what is the update with the election of the Pope. Anything except to go to the church early in the morning and enjoy worshiping and listening to the Word of God. I wonder how eternity will be like. It would be very boring if really we cannot spend this couple of hours, 3 hours in the church on Sunday while we are able, while we are mature enough to go into this phase. How eternity will look like? What we are going to do? Are we going to excuse ourselves from before the Lord because we have a banquet somewhere in the paradise of joy? Are we going to sit together? Or are we be willing to hear him all the eternity? The third sign is that the people who are spiritually sound, they are attentive to every word and heed every command. We hear those people, what happened? They listened for 3 hours, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Not only standing for 3 hours, listening to the scripture, they are attentive to every word that Ezra was saying. When did they develop this? How any man would develop some kind of like a love to something, or at least paying attention to it? I will give you an example. Who of us pay much attention for the weather forecast? We usually tend to do this whenever we have or are planning a trip. Then I go and search and see how the weather will look like in the destination I am heading to tomorrow. The second time we heed something related to the weather forecast is at the time of the hurricane season. If a hurricane is coming towards Houston, then everyone is attentive. I remember before Ike, every one of us were expert. about weather forecast. We know the people who are making the update. We know them by name, and we move between the channels, and we know who is giving us more details than the other person. Why all of a sudden we're all attentive to something that usually we don't care much about? Because there was danger, something that's threatening us. And the second time, when we have interest, I'm traveling there and I want to know how the weather will look like. These are the two things that make us to be attentive to the Word of God. Typically, when we have interest or we feel the danger. We should actually have both of these when it comes to the command of God. Why? Simply, God is telling us something in it. And what He is trying to reach us, to tell us, is something related to our destination, our eternity. If I am minded with this trip, I should be paying attention to the Word of God, what God wants us to be prepared when the day comes. Also, He is warning us from eternal damnation, from hellfire. This is, I think, a danger that really should make us to be attentive to the Word of God. If I were afraid from a hurricane, definitely the hellfire will be something that's more fearsome for us. But if I don't have this interest in the eternity, all what is in my mind is today and tomorrow, what I'm going to eat and drink, what I'm going to do tomorrow, what school will look like, the project that I am working on, and things like that. Or sometimes we don't feel really the danger that we is around, snaring us. The threat about that, God forbid, that we end up in eternity that's away from Christ. The people were attentive to the Word of God because they developed both the interest towards their destination, eternity, and the fear that if we are away from Him, we will never be able to find rest. Those who are spiritually sound, also the Word of God is received among them with all due reverence. Let us read and see how those people are like listening to the Word of God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Every time Israel says something, they answer, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So the Bible here tells us about how they looked like. They were standing, paying attention with everything that Israel was saying. They are agreeing by saying Amen on it. They are lifting up their hands to worship, and also they bowed often their faces before the Lord. How this is compared to us when sometimes we read the Bible half awake, half asleep. It cannot be really something that we can benefit from. The church tries to get us also into this setup when we listen to the Bible. Two deacons stand here with candles saying that whatever you are going to hear is the light. And also the deacon who is reading asking everyone to stand up before the Lord. The priest approach also the scripture holding the gospel over his head as a gesture of the reverence and respect due to the Word of God. All of this helps that whenever we listen, we pay attention, because what we are listening to is Christ Himself speaking to us through the scripture. How to handle the Bible, the reverence and the respect. The Bible always in our home should be above all books. The Bible should not be under any book, any other book, no matter how, whatever the other book is. Nothing should be put on it. The Bible should all be kept in good shape, not torn like the books of the church, not maybe something spilled on it. This should not be the case. We know where is it, because we read from it every day. All of this says that we respect this book and the one who wrote it for us. Those who are spiritually sound, also the Word of God for them is authoritative, has absolute authority over them. In the same chapter we read, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Why the church intentionally makes a mangaleya above the people? It's not because of the priest wants to see the people or the people wants to see him. It is because the word of God is received from above. We look up to it. Some of us, they do the same. They look up to the word of God. Whatever said, we are committed to it. There is no choice and picking, I take this or I leave this. Some, they look at the word of God and the word is underneath them. Meaning, I look to the command and say, I like this, I will take it. I don't like this, I will put it aside. This is something for our age. And this is something, no, I cannot use it. This is too harsh. Maybe later on. By the way, later never comes. Sometimes we look at the scripture and say, I don't think this is really the word of God. It cannot be that much. And when someone guides and tells us that what we are doing is contradicting the word of God, sometimes say that maybe you don't understand it. It didn't mean this way. You have to be updated. The word of God should have the authority, the absolute authority. Whatever said is whatever we can abide to. No matter how difficult or hard, we can acknowledge we are weak, we can't, but we cannot just exclude it and say that this is something we will be thinking of later on. Then what? The authority of the word of God is demonstrated by the submission of the elders among the people. Let me read the passage and explain to you what do I mean. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, Ezra was reading, and beside him at the right hand stood Matthiah, Shema, Anaya, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. And at his left hand, Bidiah, Mishael, Malshijah, Hashum, and Heshbadana. Heshbadana, Zechariah, and Mushlam. It's a pronunciation challenge. What are those people? Those people are the elders of Israel. Why are they standing beside Israel? This is to convey a message. We are backing the word of God that is said to you. If you have any doubt in what is said, you are thinking if you have to abide to it or not, just look at the one that you respect the most, the elder of your tribe. You will see him in agreement. I approve it. This is what we are all going to be committed to. I'll give you an example. The Halloween season is coming close. And then the church always says, don't let your children participate in it in any way or form. There's not something for us. We are not going to walk in this parade even wearing angels. It doesn't make any sense that Satan will be at the beginning of the parade and we are walking behind him holding the cross. It doesn't make any sense. Anyhow, we might agree or disagree with the point of view of the church. But when we defeat what the church is saying in this regard, the priest is saying something and then dad or mom saying something else. What will happen is, I'm undermining the authority of the church and whatever said. My son and daughter will know that. Whatever Abuna says or the church says, we have our own bylaw that's going to govern us. We go back home and we tell him, "Ma tazalsh habibi, we'll do for you whatever you want." This simple statement says a lot. It says that we have our own setup, our own mindset, our own rules. The church have their own, we have ours, we have no overlap whatsoever. Later on, when I bring my son or daughter to Abuna or to the bishop to listen, because I'm struggling with my teen, he doesn't want to listen to what I'm saying. In his mind, he will say, why now you want me to listen and heed the priest, what the priest is saying? At a certain time before, you defeated this in many occasions. Why now you think or you believe that I'm going to listen to Abuna and do whatever he says? We undermine the authority of the church when we do not back the word of God or whatever said. I know people come and say, but sometimes the church make it too difficult, it is too hard. Whatever. At the end of the day, you come to the Coptic Church, you belong to it, you believe in whatever the church is saying, maybe out of 10 or 100 instruction you listen to, you don't agree with 10%. But what about the 90%? When you defeat the 10%, you also defeat the other 90%. Be careful. Your children will look at you and see you, what you do. And accordingly, this is how they are going to understand whatever said in the church. Those who are spiritually sound, also they measure themselves with it, and this lead them to be sorrowful. What happened when those people who are spiritually sound, they read the Word of God? They move with a holy grief. Something aches. Because we all, when we look at it, we see in this mirror how terrible our spiritual status is. All should have the same feeling. We hear the people, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They wept, they were crying. Because when they heard this, they saw how far they are from what God is saying. Do we have any this feeling that when I read the Word of God, I look at it, I end up saying, Lord, have mercy. How I'm going to be judged in the judgment day while I'm breaking almost every single command? Those people were really in a spiritual revival, and the manifestation of it was they were able to feel the Word of God. It fell not on their ears, but on their heart, and they moved with a holy grief and sorrow. The last point, we take it from the New Testament. At the time, the day of the Pentecost, Saint Peter, he spoke to the people. Those people were moving towards God. So here we can see that the Word of God actually pierced their heart. And also they moved with this eagerness to know what need to be done. This we read it in Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this means the preaching of St. Peter, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This question says that I am serious. I heard what you said. Now there is something need to be done. It is not an entertaining thing that we come to the church and listen to the sermon. And we go out and say that it was a great sermon today. We enjoyed the readings. Everything was great. Then what? What's the next step? Then what are we going to do with it? Is there anything that's going to change? Anything that be kept in mind? Something that really we are going to work on it? Or as we came, as we left? I came to the church on Sunday. I heard that if I have a relationship outside marriage, this is not something that God wants. On Monday, I have a meeting with my boyfriend. Everything is okay. I am content with being divided like this. The Word of God, yes, it's nice to hear. It's not going to trigger and change anything. Those people were moved because they had a heart of flesh. The Word of God was able to pierce it, and then they moved to ask what needs to be done. Again, something for us to look upon and to compare to ourselves and to ask God to move us in the same way, to pierce our hearts with the Word of God in order for us to come to repentance and coming to the knowledge of the true God. May the Lord give us all this spiritual revival in the way how we handle and we deal and we live with the Word of God. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.